haven't had a chance to personally greet. We want to greet you now. In fact, we got... Happy birthday for who? Okay, there's an idea. We're not allowed to ask how many.
No.
But we do want to celebrate that God has given somebody to us here and that they are rejoicing in another year.
Amen.
So why don't we sing happy birthday?
Amen.
Okay.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Elsie. Happy birthday to you.
Okay, very good. We're all rejoicing with you. I bring greetings. I was texted on while we were driving this morning. I was not doing the texting. Lois was receiving the text. But Bruce Halsizer passed on his greetings both to the saints here and to his daughter. And also we were got a note from our son Josh in Arkansas, studying at the university, John Brown University, and was also remembering times past with you and wants to pass on his greetings to you as well. As you can see from the introduction here, this presentation or message is especially made for the Lansdowne Saints. And so you can take this as something that was made for you. Nobody has seen this exact presentation and the way that it's being done. So I hope that you'll take that as something special. And as we're putting this together, because often we have the opportunity, one, to give a message, and at another time to be able to give a presentation or a report on the work. This morning it's going to be a little bit of a combination of the two. We will be sharing a little bit about the work that God has privileged us to be involved in Zambia. But at the same time, we don't want to leave you out. And so as we go along, I'm going to try to give various applications that are not only applicable for missionaries, but also, let's say, foreign missionaries, but are also applicable for local missionaries. So we'll be looking at that together. Maybe we'll go into the first picture. You probably, many of you will recognize these faces, familiar to, I mean, some of you have known the family even before, I guess known Lois before Lois and I got married 23 years ago, and then have seen the children as they were growing up. You remember Josh as that little guy. Well, now you can see from the picture he was about here, and as you can see from there, he's overtaken his father. And as I mentioned, now the reason why we came back to North America at this time was that Josh graduated from Rift Valley Academy in Kenya, and we wanted to install him in his next place of schooling. He received a nice scholarship from John Brown University, and he's studying photography and possibly journalism as a means for him to be able to use in the future to get him into closed countries, to be a missionary, sort of undercover type of thing. So anyways, that's Josh and Joanna. You can see Joanna smiling, although she's a little bit in the glare. Graduated in May, Messiah College, with an art degree, and she was going to follow Josh to Arkansas, but it turns out that she's gone to Lincoln, Nebraska at the invitation of my brother and sister-in-law, saying, what are you going to do down in Arkansas? You know, you don't know anybody except your brother, and he's going to be busy with school, so why don't you come up here and we'll try and help you find a job. And we praise the Lord that she's not only gone to Lincoln, but she's found a job and she's enjoying it. So we praise the Lord for that. So as I said, Josh graduated in Kenya. He was very thankful to be over in Africa again and to be able to be with his friends and be in the environment of the school. What a blessing to have a Christian environment. Not to say that it's perfect, but what a blessing to have fellowship and have good guidelines and good instructors. And so he was very thankful for that, and the Lord is bringing him along in that. So now we're going to take you a quick step from Kenya now to Zambia. Now, for those young people back there, who can tell me where Zambia is? Eric, that's your row there, okay?
Yes.
Are you with me? Who can tell me where Zambia is? Do you know what continent is Zambia?
West Africa.
Okay, very good. All right. Very good. So Zambia is in Central Africa. And this is, we're now going to go take you from Central Africa, from the capital city. You drive for about 16 hours on the road, and when the road ends, then what? Well, when the road ends, you take the pontoon, sort of like a little ferry. And then when you get on the other side, sorry, no more roads. Now you've got ox cart paths. And then you head for about half an hour if you've got a vehicle, or if you're walking, it takes about 2.5 hours. And then you get to Lukolwe Mission. So once you get to Lukolwe Mission, you see why we went there. We went there because we wanted to reach out to the people in this rural area. Now I've got another question for some of the young people. What does rural mean? Who can tell me what rural means? Now, I know I got a Canadian accent, and it might be difficult to understand, but what does rural mean?
Rural.
That's not what the sound the dog makes. Rural means it's far away from, well, I don't want to say far away from civilization, but far away from the towns. It's not a part of the city, right? So people around here in Lansdowne know what city is like, right? Well, this is not city, right? But we went there because in that area there are thousands of people spread out in many different villages, and we wanted to bring the gospel to them. So there's the next question. What is the gospel? And why would we want to take the gospel? Why would we travel for 2 days by airplane and then another 16 hours by car or 2 days by bus? Why would we go through all that trouble to bring this gospel? What is the gospel? Okay, I can see a hand there. Go ahead. What's that?
Good news.
That's right. It is good news. It's the good news about the Lord Jesus Christ and how he came into the world for us to make it possible so that we could go to his Father in heaven, right? So anyways, when we got there, we found a little church, a little local assembly already in place. But there were only about 15 people, and some of them were getting kind of gray. And one elder said to me, "Mr. Mast, we're so glad that you're here because people are probably getting tired of listening to me every week, and now we can share the ministry." So you could see that things weren't really the way they were supposed to be. But we thank the Lord that, as you can see from the picture, it didn't remain that way. God worked, and he helped save some people. He helped bring other people back into the assembly. And so the assembly was built up. And so we thank the Lord for the work that he did there. And as you can see on a Sunday morning, there are a lot of people there. And we thank the Lord that now, that it's not that man, who's now been with the Lord, is not the only speaker, and I'm not the only other teacher, but now every Sunday and every Wednesday we can have somebody else. And you know, often we have the young people speaking on a Wednesday, or sometimes even on a Sunday. And so we thank the Lord for the way that he has worked at Lukolwe Mission. But that is just the base to be able to go out from there to all the different villages. How many of you people have been to a village? Now, I know a lot of the adults have been to the village. Have you children been to a village before? You know, like where there's only a few people that live there? Well, we have lots of villages in our area of Zambia. And that's why we went, so that we could go to those people. But, you know, what we see in the Bible is that if you want to help people, if you want to share the good news with them, you often have to start by showing them love. Because they might be a little bit afraid, right? If somebody comes to you and they want to give you something, you want to give you a candy, you sort of, can I trust this person? Isn't that right? You don't just trust everybody, right? We've heard of some terrible stories, you know, even like Halloween coming up, you know, like you got to be careful where you get these candies from, and those apples that you maybe cut through them instead of, you know, that you don't find any razor blades or anything. So when we want to share the good news with people, we need to show love to people so they can see that we have their best interests in mind. And so this here is a rural health center. You got that word again. It's a health center that is far away from the cities and a place to be able to help people with their medical needs. Now I have another question for the young people. What kind of things do you think we treat people for in this health center? Now there are many things we treat them for. So I'm going to take a couple of people to volunteer. What do you think? Yes?
Sickness.
Okay, what kind of sickness? Back that up with something. Sickness is right. Yes?
You said diabetes.
Diabetes, yes. Some people that have diabetes might be helped there as well. One of the major things that we treat there is for malaria. Malaria, you get that from a mosquito. Yes, do you have another one that you want to... What was that?
Ebola.
Ebola. Thankfully, we don't treat people for Ebola there. Yes, and there's another.
Cancer?
No, in our little health center, we're not very good at treating people for cancer, although we might see them when they get cancer, yes. And another one there?
AIDS.
Yes, we do treat people who have AIDS. We have a lot of AIDS in the area. In fact, in Africa, a lot of people are infected with AIDS. So as people have these sicknesses, they have diseases, they have illnesses, they aren't feeling well, they may be injured, they come to us and we can show God's love to them through helping to treat them for these different things. And so that is a reminder for all of us. It's not only for the missionaries far away, but for all of us, that we need to be looking for ways that we can show love to other people. As we know that the Lord Jesus, He went out and He healed all of their sicknesses. That the people that came to Him, or when He went there, He touched them, He prayed for them, He healed them in many different ways. And He had the ability to heal them from all things. And that's why we have a health center, so that we can show love, and then when they come to us, we can show love to them, and then we can also share the good news about the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that means not only healing diseases, but also preventing diseases. So we have children's clinics where we give them vaccinations. There's another question for you young people. What is a vaccination? Yes?
A thing that like kills germs.
Okay, it, you're getting in the right direction. It is something to be able to prevent a person from getting a sickness in the future. You know, and it's often through a little shot in the arm. Yes, we got some participation there. Right, that's right, like the flu shots. Now, I don't think they give flu shots in our little health center, but we give for measles and, you know, the kind of things that you guys got when you were kids too, those kind of shots, or for polio. Polio's not so bad, you just take a sugar cube or something like that, or a drop, and so that's not so painful. But this is another way of showing love to these people, and we also went out to different villages with this kind of clinic for children, and then we would be able to share the gospel with people there also. But we don't do that all ourselves. We have local staff that have been trained to be able to do this work. These two ladies are traditional birth attendants. They're not nurses, they're not midwives, but they're doing kind of the work like a midwife, and they're helping the women. Instead of in the village where it's dangerous because of danger of infection, or if there are complications that maybe a mother might die or a child might die, and instead we are able to help them with our cleaner facilities and with some knowledge and be able to help them. But not only that, but there are projects where different ladies missionary groups through Canada or the United States that they donate like little booties for the kids and a hat and a onesie and different things like that. And they send it to us, and then we're able to, for every mother that gives birth to a child at our health center, that we give them a little, what they call a baby layette. And so that's another way of showing God's love and drawing people to us, sort of showing them that we care about them because God loves them. And so as a result, that we then get a listening ear when we are sharing God's truths with them. But it is not only that we are to make the gospel attractive by inviting the people to us, but we are also told, who can tell me what Mark chapter 16 and verse 15 says? Here we're going to test your Bible knowledge. Who can tell me what Mark chapter 16 and verse 15 says? I know some people are looking it up, and some of the older saints here already have it on the tip of their tongue, and they would give it out. Okay, go ahead.
And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature.
Very good. That is what God has given to us. We who already know the good news, He is wanting to send us out to other people. It's good that we're getting together here so that we can encourage one another, but we also need to go out then, and we need to share the good news with other people. And so we also go out, and this, now if you've never seen the village, this is the scene of a village. Sort of like a typical scene with little mud huts in the background, and you can see some of the maize or corn that's growing there. And this guy is describing something. We're having a Bible study, and so he's answering a question. He's trying to describe it. Lois says, you better not show that picture. People will maybe think this guy's mentally challenged or something, but no, he's not mentally challenged. He's just trying to illustrate something. And so when we go out, often when we start a little Bible study, you might start out with one or two people. And then the Lord will increase it, and then it'll be three or four. And after a while, you'll get bigger groups. And in fact, at the beginning of this, we had loads of children coming. And we thought, no, we got to do something else to be able to do something for them. And so we got permission from the local elementary school to use one of their classrooms. And so we would gather these children into the classroom, and we would teach them memory verses and teach them songs and give them a Bible lesson and help them to learn memory verses. And so as we're doing that, we're also showing God's love, because we are teaching them things that will be helpful for them for their whole life. For you children, how long do you expect to live? Who can tell me how long do you expect to live? Yes? How many?
10 more.
10 more? Yes. And how long do you expect to live? Do you know that there's somebody in this room that's over 90 years old? Now, most of us won't make it that long, right? But if we get to know God when we're young, He can help us to be able to benefit from His truths for our whole lives. And so the Lord Jesus said, let the little children come to me, and don't hinder them, because the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. So even if you're young, this is for you. This, God says, the kingdom of God was meant for you. In fact, it's easier to come into the kingdom of God when you're a child than when you get old and maybe hard-hearted. And so don't let the devil get in the way. It's good for us to turn to Him as soon as possible. You know what? I came to know the Lord when I was 12 years old, and I'm thankful because it helped me my whole life, spared me all sorts of problems, and gave me a lot of being able to enjoy real life. So now, that's when we were going out. We had Bible studies, and we also did outreach to adults. But right at Lucole Mission, when we first arrived there, there was no Sunday school. And so Lois asked the local believers, well, would you like to have a Sunday school? And they said yes. And so then when they said yes, she said, well, how about we start next week? And so that first week, 40 children showed up. And then little by little, as other children heard about it, they more and more children came, and Lois and her team built it up till there was over 200 children coming on a Sunday. And so we thank the Lord that the opportunities are there, that we just need to ask God to help us to recognize those opportunities and see how we can make use of them. And so we would pack a lot of children into one of these houses. It was a missionary house, but because we were the only missionaries on the station, we had a lot of houses that we could use for different things. And this house was about to fall down, but the Lord helped us to keep it standing, and so we changed it into a Sunday school building. And so in this big living room, now we can pack over 100 children at a time. So you have some in the morning for the younger ones, and in the afternoon for the older ones. And so we're able to reach out to the children, because God wants children to come to Him. He loves children. He loves older people like us too. But, you know, we're thankful that God cares about us all. So what does a woman do out in the middle of Africa? You know, the husband can be busy with this and that and the other thing. What about a woman? Well, you just already heard about how a woman can be involved in a Sunday school and build it up, you know, and train people so that they have a whole group of people working in it and have a lot of people involved. Well, Lois is a teacher, and she loves teaching. And so she might go out to a village with another lady and then just start interacting with some people, invite people to talk about the Bible with her. And then out of that will grow as we can... Oh, who's that? It's Motorcycle Mom. So she'll go out to those villages sometimes, and she'll take another lady with her and then be able to start a Bible study. And so she doesn't work alone. She works with the local people. And as she does that, she is helping them to grow in their relationship with the Lord. She is helping them to learn how to reach out to other people and how to use the same kind of skills that she's learned to have. And as a result, those little Bible studies turn into big Bible studies as she shares with them, like the Apostle Paul said, that the older women should instruct the younger women how to do things in a good way and also to love their husbands and their children. And so this is really what Lois is doing on a practical level, is she is taking the Bible and she is showing those women, do you know this problem that you're having right there? Well, God addresses that right here, and this is the solution to the problem. And so they'll talk about all sorts of different things in their Bible studies. It won't be all about going out and witnessing, but it'll be all sorts of practical things as well. And out of that, people come to know the Lord because they see He has the answers and we can't do it on our own. And then there are times when there will be women's conferences, and Lois is invited to just about every women's conference that they have in our area. They want to invite Lois to come and speak. And sometimes she speaks through an interpreter. Here we're in Angola, and so there's a number of different languages that are spoken in the area, and so Lois speaks through an interpreter. Other times she speaks in the Luvale language. How many of you can speak Luvale? Have you ever heard of Luvale? That's a faraway language, isn't it? Swahili. How many of you have heard of Swahili? Okay, a lot more people have heard of the Swahili. A lot more people speak Swahili. Luvale is only spoken, I think, by about 500,000 people in Angola, a little bit in Congo, and in Zambia. And so that is the language that Lois would use as she's teaching in the village. And so we can see there are a lot of opportunities in this world for women to serve God and to be used in a mighty way by Him. Well, here is a young man. We met him when he was in high school. And I think I've told those of you that have been at Lansdowne for a while, I've told you about this fellow before. His name is Kennedy. And we got to know him when he was in early high school. How many of you are in high school? Put up your hand. Who's in high school? Okay, a couple of people in high school. Okay, well, this fellow was in early high school, and he wanted a Bible. And because he didn't have the money to be able to buy a Bible, and because his dad wasn't around, and his mother couldn't afford to buy him a Bible, and his grandmother couldn't afford to buy him a Bible, he came to us, and he wanted a Bible. And so we had a program where people could earn a Bible by saying 3 pages of memory verses. And so Kennedy came, and in the first week he got his paper, the next week he was back, and even though he had a speech impediment, what's a speech impediment? Can anybody? Yes. That's right. It's when a person has difficulty speaking. And so Kennedy had a little bit of a speech impediment, but when he said those memory verses, it was amazing how clear and fluent he was able to say those memory verses. And so after 3 weeks, he had said all his memory verses, and he got his Bible. And then as soon as he got his Bible, he said, I'd also like a hymn book. And so he wanted a hymn book too, because there in Zambia, they don't have the hymn books in the pews. In Zambia, you have to buy your own hymn book. And so he wanted a hymn book. He was musically gifted. When he was singing, he didn't have his speech impediment. And so we started up a program for him to be able to earn a hymn book, and then he got his hymn book. But the reason why I'm pointing this out is because one of the things that we are supposed to do is to make disciples. Do you have a question? Or do you want to say it? How much was the hymn book? The hymn book was about the equivalent of about $2. But he didn't have $2. Well, and that would be in Kwacha. He would need about 20.
How many verses did he have to learn?
He had to learn about 50 memory verses for his hymn book. But he wanted that hymn book, and he did the job. He memorized the verses. But as I was saying, the reason not only are we to make preach the gospel and help people come to know the Lord, that's like giving birth to a baby, but then we need to help them to grow, and then as they grow, that they can become responsible human beings, right? We don't just leave the babies to fend for themselves. We've got to help them grow so they can be responsible human beings, right? But as Christians, once a person comes to know the Lord and is saved from their sins, we also need to train them. We need to help them to learn to be like us, right? Just like the Lord Jesus had his 12 disciples and later on had many more disciples, so also we need to also help train other people so that they can learn to do the same things that we've been doing. So now I've got another question. Matthew chapter 28 and verse 19. Can anybody say that from memory? Well, if you know just even part of it, you can say just part of it. But not looking up in your Bible, although you're allowed to do that afterwards. Okay. Anybody else that is willing to say Matthew chapter 28 verse 8? You can start at 18 if you want, or verse 19. Okay, well, I'll say it for you then. Alright? The Lord Jesus said, all authority, not just a little bit of authority, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go into all the world and make disciples of all nations, teaching them to obey everything that I have instructed you. So that is what we are to do. Not only are we to preach the gospel, but we are also to make disciples. So that is what we want to do. And so as Kennedy was learning these memory verses, this was a means of helping him learn God's word. And then from there, we got him into learning Emmaus Bible correspondence courses. Those are little booklets where they can learn just sort of like little courses and then be able to answer the questions. And so he grew in his relationship with God and his understanding of God's word. And by the time he graduated from high school, he was ready to be able to help us with our Bible correspondence school ministry. And not only that, but later on, as we saw that God had given him a teaching gift, here is a guy with a speech impediment that God took away. And now he has become one of the most valuable Bible teachers in the whole area. And so that not only is he teaching at Lucolway, but in other places they want him to come to and to be able to teach at those places as well. And so we need to remember the value of teaching other people, not only the gospel, but training them, helping them to develop, to grow strong in their relationship with God, so they can be disciples and they can be doing the same things that we're supposed to be doing. And then what is that verse? Actually, did you just find that verse in Matthew chapter 28? Okay, Matthew chapter 28. Now if you can read verse 20. What does verse 20 say? And lo, I will be with you always.
And I am with you always, even until the end of the world.
Okay, very good. So just before that, just after making the disciples, it said, and what are we supposed to do? Baptize, right? Why do we baptize people? Is it because they're dirty? Well, you know, I can tell you, in some of the places we baptize people, they might get more dirty in the water there than they were before they went in. The reason why we baptize people is because we want to show other people that we've come to know the Lord. And so once we have come to know the Lord, we want other people to see and say, I have decided to follow Jesus. Some of you sing that at camp, or you sing that even here in the church meeting. And so that is what we do. We help people come to know the Lord, whether it's through Sunday school, and all sorts of people have come to know the Lord through Sunday school, or whether it's in village meetings, or whatever circumstances, whether it's at the health center when we're preaching. And then when they've come to know the Lord, we are glad to baptize them. And that can be little children, well, not really small children, once they know well enough to be able to really make a clear decision. Or it can be people who maybe thought they were Christians before, like this lady. She was going to the Catholic Church, but she didn't really know what salvation was. She thought all sorts of things that she was taught before, and then when she started studying the Scriptures, her eyes were open. And she truly came to know the Lord. And then she went into the water to show people that she had accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, that she was dead in her sins, and she was buried with the Lord Jesus, and that he has raised her to new life. And so that is what we're to do. Now I put this picture in here as a reminder that we are to pray for one another. Now, I know the guys are saying, what are we going to pray for you for? It looks like you have a lot of fun out there riding a four-wheel motorcycle. Well, the reason why I'm asking for you to pray is because there are all sorts of other things that a missionary needs to do in order to live. Like, if you want to go out to visit these places and you want to do it fairly quickly, then you need some means of transportation. We could walk, and that would be good. But then it would take days to get to some of the places, where with the four-wheeler we can get to there in a few hours. Or let's say if it would, instead of a three-hour walk, we can get there in half an hour with the motorcycle. And so, but if you have a motorcycle and you don't have any mechanics around, you don't have a shop here, you know, in the Philadelphia area, they've got who knows how many different motorcycle shops. You just bring it in there and take care of it. Well, these kind of things we need to take care of on our own, because we don't have any mechanics in the area. And so we're thankful for people praying for us that we can train people even in these kinds of things so that we can work ourselves out of a job, and then other people will do the mechanics, and then we can get on with other things that we should be doing. And you might appreciate praying for us even more, knowing that when we left our Land Cruiser with them a few years ago and then came back, and they said, well, sorry, Mr. Mass, the car doesn't run anymore. And so then we have to replace the head on the engine because they cooked it. Or when we come back another time and then the four-wheel drive has died because they didn't have the hubs locked and then it ruined the differential. I know I'm talking in another language for some of you. But anyways, you can pray for other people that God will help in all of these different kinds of challenges with transportation and with normal things. You know, if you want plumbing or electrical or mechanics or whatever, somebody has to do it, right? Either that or you just live simply and do without plumbing, right? Well, we know what that's like too. So anyways, then once churches are established, you don't just leave them like that either, right? What you need to do is you need to go and check on them. And it was interesting, as I was reading through the book of Acts in chapter 15, and it says that after some days, Paul and said to Barnabas, let us return and visit the brothers in every city where we proclaim the word of the Lord and see how they are. Because when Paul and Barnabas went out, they were able to preach the gospel and people became Christians. They turned their lives over to God and now were living a new life, or at least they were trying to, but because they only knew some things. And then as Paul and Barnabas went there and visited, they could encourage them, they could help them to learn some things that they hadn't caught on before. And so we enjoy also going to different places, and Brother Kennedy has been very good at this, going to some places that maybe were started 50 years ago, but now have gotten weak. And so as he goes there and he visits people and he helps the leadership to see how they're to be shepherding the Christians, then the flock can be built up. And this place that I'm showing you is about 50 miles away, and that doesn't sound like a very big distance when you take the turnpike, but it's a lot bigger a distance when you're taking oxcart paths or footpaths. And thankfully with our four-wheeler we're able to get out there. But then as we go out, we give some encouragement. We find out how they're doing. We help them with some of their challenges. We listen to some of their problems and we give them some counsel. And so this is the kind of thing that we can be doing, encouraging one another and seeing how we're doing. And so where you can see that what it's like out in the village, here in the background you can see the little chapel that's being built. And these believers that are watching me as I'm just using a screen, don't take this projector out to the village, no electricity, but as I put up my little sheet there and I pin different things on there, then they can pay attention, and they really appreciate the teaching and the encouragement, and they said, please come and visit us again soon. And so just like Paul and Barnabas did, we went go around from time to time and visit some of these little assemblies and try to give them some encouragement. Here's another little assembly that was getting pretty low and now more recently has been built up, and so we're praising the Lord for the work that he's doing in the area. Not only the masks that you've been praying for and being involved with, but also those that the Lord has been working with and helping to grow in his relationship with them. Here's another little simple chapel. I don't think the Lansdowne Chapel was built with mud blocks, was it? This one's built out of mud blocks that the local people have made, and the kids participated by carrying them up the hill from the river to the place where they built it. And so as we go to these little places that the Lord has is still establishing. This place has only been there for a few years now, and we thank the Lord that little by little that they are coming up. There's the little congregation in the village of Musunga. And one of the exciting things for us is that now There is a Sunday school at this little assembly. So they've only been in existence for a few years, and now they've started a Sunday school, and we can see that they're developing little by little. And this is another assembly that just started up last year. And also, this isn't the whole congregation. This is the Sunday school that we're seeing in the picture. It's a little bit dark. Sorry, there's no lighting in the building except for what shines in through those little window-like things on the sides. And another thing that we've been doing over the past few years is having these things called Christian training programs, where we will invite Christians from different villages to come into Lukolwe and to stay with us for 2 weeks. They have to pay about the equivalent of about $2 to stay with us for those 2 weeks. And then during that time, that contributes a little bit towards their food. But as you can understand, that 2 weeks isn't going to feed a person for 2 weeks. It wouldn't go very far. I guess at McDonald's you could get two tacos hot apple pies or something like that. But anyways, that'll feed them, I mean, not the $2, but we feed them for 2 weeks. And as we go through, we have a curriculum that we've translated into the Luvale language, and then Kennedy is teaching this, and the people really appreciate this teaching, helping them, you know, first through the basics, and then to build on that little by little to help them to grow in their relationship with the Lord. And we have that also in the Bible. It says that what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses and in many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. And so that is what we need to do, is we need to find those people that are being faithful to the Lord and invest in them and help them to grow in the Lord and equip them so that they can pass that on to other people. And so instead of being 1 plus 1, we can do multiplication, you know, 2 times 2, right? It gets there faster. Or Lord Jesus 1 and 12 disciples makes 12, right? So that makes 1 times 12, right? So as we're going up in mathematics rather than in just 1 plus 1. And so we thank the Lord for the way that he is working in the area. And then to be able to encourage one another, we invite a couple of times a year people to come to a place where there is going to be a conference. We know that at Greenwood or at Iroquoina or other places, there are conferences that where we can get together, we can enjoy each other's company and encourage one another. And now, for how many people do you think are in this little chapel there? About the size, maybe 1/3 the size of this room. How many people do you think that are, can you count them? I guess it's a little difficult to count. Somebody want to take a guess? Not quite 1,000.
Maybe like 72 to 85.
Okay, 72 to 85. That's closer to what we have on a normal Sunday morning. Yes?
About 125.
Okay, you're getting closer.
130.
We've got more than 200 people packed into the room. And what doesn't get into the room, people are looking in through the windows to be able to enjoy what's going on at the conference there. And so it is a reminder that it's good for us as Christians to get together, like we're going to do after this meeting, to go downstairs and enjoy a meal with one another and encourage one another, talk with one another, enjoy the fellowship. And so it's good for us to do that from time to time. And so we're glad to see that you're doing that, and we need to do it more. And so we want to thank you for being a part of the work over in Africa. For more than 20 years, that God has been using Lansdowne to be involved in the lives of the masses. And so we want to thank you for that. And we want to encourage you that the Lord has many wonderful things still in store for the Lansdowne Assembly. And so we pray that as we put these things into practice, let's have a quick summary, okay? Just as we're finishing. What are we supposed to do? The first thing.
Show
the law.
That is right. We need to show love. That is the first thing. That is actually the first and the last thing, right? To show love. And then let's go to another thing. What are we supposed to do after we show love? That is right. We are to share the good news. We are to preach the gospel. Yes, what do you want to say? What's that?
Don't steal. Do not steal.
Oh, yes, we're definitely not supposed to do that. Good addition to that. Sorry, I got to turn up my hearing aids, you know. Haven't got them yet, but the... So, that we need to share the good news with other people. And then not only just share the good news, then after people have come to know the Lord, what are we supposed to do? That is right. We are to train them, we're to instruct them, we're to help them to learn how to be responsible Christians that will be sharing the good news with other people as well, to make disciples. And then we're also to be praying for one another, right? Because God, as we were listening to a message or reading something yesterday, it was like God said he's wired the whole place, but he's waiting for us to turn on the switch, right? God has the power, but until we pray and ask him, God is often waiting for us to ask him for the help. And so we need to be praying for one another. And then we also need to do follow-up. It's not enough just to do something good, but then we need to go check. You know, just like when the person puts a pot on the stove, you don't just leave it there, right? You got to check on it, right? To see that it's not going bad or being heated up too much. So these are some of these things that are not only applicable for out in Africa and in the rural areas, but they are applicable also right here in Lansdowne. And so let us pray. Let us work together so that we can see the people of this area and to the ends of the earth coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's close in the word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the great things that you are doing around the world. We thank you for the work that you began in our hearts and the work that you have done to help us to grow in our relationship with you. And now we pray that you would help us to be effective in reaching out to others so that they can have the same benefit that we have. We thank you for this time of fellowship. We thank you for the partnership with the Lansdowne Assembly. And we pray, Lord, that as we have fellowship downstairs, that you will bless that time. Thank you for the food that has been prepared and provided. And we ask, Lord, that you would help us, even in that time, to encourage one another and to demonstrate your love to one another, that you might receive the glory and that your work will go forward in the way that you intended. We pray this and we thank you in the name of the Lord.